Aerovision, Ireland's number one Eurovision podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Aerovision podcast. I hope you're doing well. I'm here with Louise. Later on, you will be hearing from Connor as well, but we'll get to that later. But this episode is going to be all about songwriters, and particularly Irish songwriters, because I think this year, more than any, we have learned just how important songwriters are in the Eurovision contest, particularly around Larissa Tormey. And she's been such a big aspect of this year's competition for Irish fans. We've already chatted to her, and she is, I mean, an absolute hoot. What a lovely lady. And don't forget, she does have an event coming up, the Sofa Sessions in Mullingar later this month. But we are going to be focusing on a couple of other writers as well. Louise, could you please tell us who they're going to be?
Yes, absolutely, Alex. So this year, we have not one, but three Irish songwriters gracing Eurovision 2025. Larissa Tormey, as you already mentioned, Alex. And we do also have Ben Pine as one of the songwriters for Croatia's entry this year, Poison Cake. And we also have Joshua Curran, a Czech-Irish songwriter, who is a featured songwriter on Survivor, Armenia's song for this year. So very exciting stuff for Irish songwriters. Like, it's really cool. I feel like the likes of Melody Festival and the Nordic countries in particular are really good at showcasing their songwriters when it comes to the show. You know, they kind of, the camera flashes to the songwriters before they perform in Melody Festival, and then they kind of give them that platform. And it feels like year on year in Eurovision, we're always interested in the artists, but we're talking more about the people in the background who are so important, like the creative directors. We're always talking about, you know, Marvin Dietman and Sergio Hayen, and of course, songwriters, as we've mentioned. Such a key part. It is the Eurovision Song Contest, after all. So, you know, at the Eurovision podcast, we're all things Irish. We have to get some Irish songwriters on. Alex, you're not a stranger to songwriting, I would say. I recall one Christmas.
Where is this going? Guys, I don't know where this is going, so I'm really looking forward to what this is going to be. Go on.
One Christmas long ago, we were doing an Eurovision Wrapped episode, and you whipped out, I don't know, was it a memory stick or something? And this beautiful song appeared that you had made by a producer in...
I need to check. I need to check. Somewhere in Europe, I'm sure. Possibly Slovakia, maybe. Yes, you have just jogged my memory. I have a bit of a songwriting flair myself, hence why I'm doing the intro. That was so funny. And you know what? I learned a thing or two. I had to go through every single episode ever of Eurovision and write out my favorite moments and then somehow make them rhyme. So, you know, it's not an easy job. It's a whole ordeal. It took me 2 or 3 days, and you can go back and listen to the Christmas special if you want to see the absolute pile of trash that was. So, you know, it's a
gobble,
testament.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. It's a testament to how talented these writers are, because, yeah, after, you know, taking a bit of a chance myself, I wouldn't say that it's one of my strongest attributes, but, you know, you have to try everything once. So I'm looking forward to hearing about, yeah, their process and everything that you guys caught up on. I actually haven't listened to them yet, so I'm going to be listening along with you guys and maybe learn a thing or two to improve for this Christmas. Who knows?
We'll be waiting with eager anticipation, Alex. Maybe we'll have had a moment to insert a clip of that song here in this episode.
Hello everyone, my name is Connor.
My name is Lou.
And you're listening to the Eurovision Podcast,
a uniquely Irish perspective on the Eurovision Song Contest.
From Dustin to Turkey, we've seen it all.
And you are more than welcome to the Irish party.
Make sure you subscribe and follow us wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss a future episode. We'll see you soon. Hey, myself and Louise are delighted to be joined by a very, very special person. Please welcome Brooke Skoyan!
Roasting. I have too many clothes on. I'm not going to take them off.
one and only Wild Jew.
We're a few days away from heading to Liverpool.
Yeah, we're doing good. We're very excited.
I think Flo has always been a very big thing, so
very excited.
Something a bit iconic.
I stand a good daddy in a hat, and so should you.
It's political.
Politics,
it's
Discord.
Yeah, it breaks it all. Where's Chanel? I want Chanel.
Where is Chanel? I want Chanel.
It's all right, thanks for joining. But Mr. Michael Keeley, welcome to the podcast, Michael.
Your all-time favourite entry, Louise, which was Dustin the Turkey.
Look, I'm giving him right now.
It
has grown
off
me. Just because you have a feeling doesn't mean it's a fact.
Where's Chanel? I want Chanel.
Where is Chanel? I want Chanel.
Yeah, as we said, songwriters, such an important part of the process. So we'll get stuck in. We will head first to Armenia and we'll hear a couple of words, a lovely conversation that we had with Czech Irish Joshua Curran. Connor and I were lucky enough to chat to him. And then straight after, we'll head back to Ireland and Connor will be chatting to Ben Pine, one of the songwriters of Croatia's song this year. Enjoy.
We're delighted today to be joined by one of the Irish songwriters on another Eurovision song in 2025. It is Joshua Curran, one of the songwriters of this year's song from Armenia. Welcome, Joshua, to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Hi, guys.
How are you doing? Where are you today?
I'm really well. I slept pretty much well. So, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm primarily living in Prague.
I don't know if a lot of people know, but you are Irish-Czech. Before we talk about your Eurovision connection, can you talk us through your connection to Ireland and how that comes about?
Yeah, of course. So as you said already, I'm half Czech. My mom is from Czech Republic and my dad is from Ireland. So that's pretty much the connection. I've never lived in Ireland specifically, but we do. I mean, I've spent all my summers there. I visit Ireland 3 times a year. I've got many friends there. And I consider myself a half Czech, half Irish songwriter, because you can hear a lot of the Irish influence in my work, I would say. And a lot of my favorite bands are Irish too. So like, I've got a lot of Ireland with my entire heart.
Amazing. And whereabouts in Ireland are you coming from?
From Tramore, County Waterford. But I don't visit that much. But like when I go to Ireland, I usually go to Dublin nowadays. But when I was a kid, I did go to Tramore, like, all the time.
And Tramore is a good place to go in the summer, with the beach and the
fair. That's true, with the beach, yeah, surfing. Yeah, that's where I surfed all the time. It's pretty cool,
Nice. And can you tell us a little bit more then about your musical background and how you've gotten into all of this songwriting business?
Back when I was 12, I started playing the guitar pretty much on the electric guitar. I was in a lot of bands. I started doing my own music. But I never was a singer really. But then 2 years ago, when I, after a lot of singing lessons, I pretty much found myself and I started doing my solo stuff. I started releasing my own stuff, my music on Spotify and all, et cetera, et cetera. And a song of mine blew up on TikTok. And that's kind of where I got all these amazing opportunities, such as writing a song for Eurovision.
You know, for people that may not have
you know, listening to your sound, what would you describe it as?
I mean, I do have a lot of, like, I am inspired by bands like The Kooks, Arctic Monkeys. So yeah, I would say kind of, I'm kind of from that genre, like alternative rock, some indie pop in there too. So that's kind of how I would describe the sound. Very melancholic.
Amazing. And how did the opportunity come about for you then to write songs for this year's Eurovision?
So my agent is originally from Armenia, and she's got a lot of contacts there. And she got in touch with Parik's manager, and we just had a Zoom call. And I to be fair, I didn't take it that seriously because I wouldn't expect it to actually go to Eurovision. So it was pretty low key for me. And the madness started kind of after he won the round in Armenia, after Parik won the little Eurovision in Armenia. So that's pretty much how it came about.
Just going back a step, what is your connection to Eurovision? Were you a fan prior to this, or was it something that, you know, it was a bit, it was there, but it wasn't something that you kind of paid much attention to?
Me personally, I was always a big fan of Eurovision. Eurovision is not that big in Czech Republic as it is in Ireland. And that's probably why I am a fan, because dad, like, he always watched Eurovision with us. So that's kind of how I had the connection with it. And I always loved it. And I would never have imagined that I would write a song for Eurovision one day. Not when I was 20 years old. Like, I'm 20 years old just now, and it seems still crazy to me that I actually did this. But it's great. It's great.
And there's an interesting team of songwriters on this, you know, Thomas Gison and so on. How did you all get together?
To be fair, we didn't, I wasn't in touch with those guys at all. It was pretty much Parik's manager. He was just sending me stuff that they did, and I was sending him stuff that I did. And just, we kind of connected, and they kind of chose what should be in the song. But yeah, that's kind of, so I never really met them. I never really talked to them, but I am excited to see them at the Eurovision if they're there with us.
What a cool opportunity. What a cool opportunity.
Yeah, it is really cool.
I have to tell you something, Joshua. I have to admit something, and Connor's going to laugh. We've already chatted about the song a little bit on the podcast, and the first thing I said was, I don't know if Parik has an Irish connection, but when he sings this song, he sounds like he's a dub with the accent.
I know. I actually had an interview with a Beat radio station 2 days ago, and she said the exact same thing. The exact same thing.
I'd like to think that's your influence as the yeah, Irish man behind it all.
Yeah, but it is kind of funny. That's right. You're right. Like, that's really funny. But no, he's all Armenian. He's all Armenian.
You know, Eurovision itself, growing up, was it a big thing? Obviously, you said your dad was a big fan of it. And it's not a huge thing in Czechia, as you said, but what was your kind of influences? Was it kind of the Irish songs in Eurovision, or was it just Eurovision in general growing up?
I would say Eurovision in general. I'm just thinking if I've got like some fun moments. I mean, there was this guy called Mikolas Josef who was sixth, and I think he came up sixth in 2018. And that's kind of where I remember where I started watching Eurovision. But that's kind of, yeah, I never really had a lot of inspiration from Eurovision while writing the song. I just knew like what Eurovision is, and based on that, I just wrote the song.
And a tough question now. If you had to write a song for Czechia or for Ireland, who would you be rallying behind?
That's a tough one. I didn't
remember what podcast you're on.
I don't know. I'm gonna say both. I have to say both. I don't know.
That's okay. But
yeah, I'm gonna try one day. I really want to try one day.
What kind of song, if you were writing for Ireland, what kind of a vibe do you think you'd go for? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah. Of course I did. And if I were to do it one day, I would definitely do something that's my own, like that has my sound. I don't want to, you know, write a Eurovision hit. I just want to write a song that's all by myself and just see if it goes well or not. Because I think it could be interesting for it to be something original rather than another Eurovision hit, if you know what I mean. So, but to answer your question, it would have to be something in the style of Fontaine's DC and those kind of melancholic sounds, if you know what I mean.
And we always say to loads of people when, you know, they get involved with Eurovision, it's exactly what you said. Don't try and write a Eurovision song. You know, any song nowadays, once it's good, can be a Eurovision song. So it's great to hear that you're on that pathway, you know, of thinking, which is great.
Sure, yeah, it is. Yeah, that's true. It's true.
And we get a lot of songwriters listening to this podcast sometimes. So, guys, if you want to work with Joshua Curran,
hit me up.
Where would they find you, Joshua?
I'm on Instagram. It's just Joshua Curran, J-O-S-S-H-E-S. That's my name tag. You can find me there. Yeah, I pretty much like I reply to everyone on my Instagram. So that's pretty much how you can hit me up.
Amazing. And you're in Czechia, and you said earlier on that, you know, Eurovision isn't massive in Czechia, but what would you kind of view Eurovision as, you know, a songwriter? What is it, you know, viewed as in the songwriting community? Is it a good thing to have a Eurovision song on your CV, or do you think there is kind of a look down towards Eurovision?
Nah, I wouldn't say it's a look down, but people don't really realize that it is a big thing when I say it, which I'm fine with. But it's just how it is, like Czech Republic, I feel like, especially like in my round of friends and people that I work with, it's not such a big deal. For example, with the Irish radios, you're like the third guys that I'm talking to, whereas in Czech Republic, no one really has interest in talking to me because they don't really care about Eurovision. So that's kind of where it's at the moment.
And have you heard this year's Czech entry?
I did, and it's really amazing. Yeah, I did. It's really amazing. I actually. He's a great guy.
And we were talking there earlier about, you know, writing a song for Eurovision. Would you ever consider entering full stop yourself? Because, you know, you obviously are a great singer. You know, people just check out your Spotify and support you on iTunes and all that. But, you know, you have a great sound yourself, and we know you can write songs. But would you ever consider, you know, putting yourself in the spotlight and representing either Czechia or Ireland?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, for sure. For sure, like that's no. I really want to try one day, for sure.
And you were saying there, you're going to be gigging tonight. So what's in the pipeline for you? Because you seem to be, you know, taking off now with your own career. So what's in the pipeline? I know you have a new song coming out next week as well. So
yeah, that's true.
Next plug week. Away with that.
I did. Yeah. Because I released my debut album last summer, and I've been in the studio so much like since then. So I'm just really excited to finally release like a comeback song after the debut album. So that's pretty much it. I've been doing a lot of music. I've got a lot of unreleased songs at the moment, which I'm gonna release now over the next few months. But that's kind of what is next. A new album, a lot of gigs around. I want to do a tour in Europe. But yeah, that's pretty much it at the moment.
And what's your plan heading into Basel in the next month? Will you be able to head over?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be there. And my plan is just to network with everyone, meet everyone, chat to everyone, and just have a good time too while doing that.
Well, you've definitely got your head clued on with everything that's going on. And I think this is the start of something very big for you, Joshua. So it's great to have a bit of Irish influence in that. So, you know, once again, where can people follow your journey on, you know, social networks?
You can follow me on Instagram, on TikTok, obviously all the streaming platforms like iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. I'm everywhere. So like, yeah, just, and if you want to text me, anyone, like hit me up. I reply to everyone. So that's kind of where you can chat to me.
The next Irish talent, Joshua Curran, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Thank you so much.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Eurovision podcast, and I am joined by a very special guest this afternoon. I'm joined by Ben Pine, singer and songwriter. Welcome to the podcast, Ben. How are you keeping?
Great. Hi, Connor. Thanks for having me here.
No problem at all. Now, we have a lot to talk to you about because you, of course, are one of the songwriters behind Croatia's entry for Eurovision 2025, and you're Irish, which makes it important for us to talk to you, being Ireland's number one Eurovision podcast. But I also want to talk to you about your songwriting camp as well, Views of the Valley, that's been going on the last few years as well. But I'll kick it off really with Eurovision itself. Have you been a fan for many, many years, and how is your relationship with Eurovision?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I mean, I've been to the concert. I've been there once before. I was there in 2018. So I would consider myself big fan, although I know a lot of people who are much bigger fans than me even. So but yeah, like typically I would listen to the songs in advance of the contest every year, and I'd stay in touch with what's going on with contests and so on. Actually, this year, funnily enough, is the 1 year I haven't actually had a chance to listen to all of the songs yet, which is kind of ironic. But yeah, usually I would be be listening to all the songs and have my own writing and that kind of thing. So,
well, you've been too busy this year for obvious reasons that we'll get to get on later on. Songwriting then, what's your relationship like with music and how did you get into songwriting?
Well, music has always been a really big part of my life. I've been playing the piano since I was around six. I guess growing up musically, I was very alone, a bedroom songwriter. It wasn't really a cool thing to songwrite as a teenager. There wasn't even X Factor, I don't think, when I was a teenager. So don't ask me how old I am. The internet wasn't really a thing or anything like that. So it wasn't till about, I'd say, 10, 12 years ago, I was lucky. I made a couple of friends who were songwriters and we would book some studio time, go in, lay down instruments. My friend Carrie was very closely connected with musicians and that kind of thing. So it was a great way, but a much slower way than I would do it now of getting a song demo down and really good kind of learning ground. And then from there, I discovered a songwriting camp in Spain in 2019, and I went there and it kind of opened up the world of pop songwriting to me, and quickly began to find a network of songwriters and producers to work with. So I did some EDM tracks with a Norwegian producer, which did quite well in Norway, and got a placement on the BBC and that kind of thing. And then I undertook a mentorship with a music publisher in the UK. So that was really helpful. That's again just for networking and that kind of thing. And then it's really just in the last couple of years that I've ramped up the amount of commitment to the songwriting, and I've got about over 100 songs that I've co-written in the last couple of years. So pretty big catalog. Been doing some courses with a university in Finland, mostly for K-pop and focusing on the Asian market. And apart from that, what else have I been doing? Just traveling, songwriting camps. As you probably know, there's a ton of different ones in the Netherlands and Finland, Norway and so on. So I've sort of been on that circuit, just trying to connect with as many writers and artists as I can. So that's pretty much what's led me to here.
You haven't been busy at all, basically.
No, not at all.
Just everything like that. Yeah. It sounds like you've been very busy, as I said there. What's it been like really linking Eurovision and your songwriting experience then? How did that come about?
It was kind of a natural progression, because when you go to the songwriting camps, inevitably you meet people who have either written songs for Eurovision before or artists who have been there already. So you kind of cross paths with these people and it becomes like a thing, a whole thing among songwriters. It's hard to explain, but for example, I went to the Woods in Norway a couple of years ago, and it was an EDM camp, so it wasn't even for Eurovision. And one of the days I was with Matilda Esposito. I don't know if you know her. She was on MGP last year. And then another day I was with Ellie. She's one of the girl band members for LLL. I think they were shortlisted for MGP this year. So it's this kind of thing where it's like, even when you try to not write for Eurovision, you end up somehow crossing paths with people who are kind of connected. And and then obviously I love Eurovision itself, so as you know, as kind of a Eurovision fan, it's something that is like, oh, I'd love to, you know, explore that and see, you know, how far you can get. So
amazing. And moving on to Views of the Valley, of course, the songwriting camp that you founded, and you know, from our observation, it's something that's been growing year on, year out, and a huge increase in people taking part. And success-wise as well, obviously Rail to Song from Eurosong this year came from your songwriting camp. So how is your attitude towards it now? Are you happy to finally see it kind of clicking together and, you know, success coming from it?
Yeah, I mean, with each one we run, it's you know, we're finding ways to grow and just to improve the camp. And I mean, from the first camp, there were always great people there. You know, all the songwriters who have passed through have been amazing. And so I won't say, you know, that from the first one necessarily that the talent gets any better or anything like that. But I just find, with each camp we run, it's, you know, we tweak little things that help the environment and the process and so on. It's funny because a friend of mine sent me a link to your podcast with Michael Keeley a few weeks ago, and he said to me, "Oh, Ben, you got a shout out on the Eurovision podcast. Michael Keeley mentioned you." And I clicked into it to the part where he was talking about his visit to Views of the Valley. And it's kind of funny because I wanted to challenge what he said a little bit.
Here's your opportunity, challenge him away. Yeah.
It's great, by the way. Michael Keeley is brilliant. And like, he's like, fair play to him for coming down and everything. And I know he always gives people time and so on. But I would say there was one song written on that camp that I still don't know how it didn't get shortlisted for Eurosong that year. An amazing performer, just an incredible production, a brilliant song. And how that did not get shortlisted, when, no disrespect to the six songs or five songs that got shortlisted that year, but that song should have been shortlisted. So so it's interesting. I'm not doubting this, that there's a process there, and I understand that, you know, the songs go through the process, but that definitely did baffle me that year.
Interesting. And can you give us any hints of who was the singer, what the song was about? Just, is it out there for us to listen to?
It's not out
to say
there,
exactly.
No.
It's not out there.
No, it's not out there. It's not released. It's still there. Like, I still have the demo. Like, and I'm not even saying this from an ego perspective, because I'm not one of the songwriters of the song. And I think anyone who was on that camp that year would agree, you know, that it was kind of, I want to say it was an injustice, the fact that it didn't get shortlisted. But, you know, and I get that, you know, it's subjective and so on, but also it's not. So,
yeah.
I would say about it. But we came back, after that camp, I decided I'm going to take off the theme of Eurovision and just have it as a space for artists to come and write for their own artist projects, which we did the second time. And it's funny, I think Raelte came on the fourth or fifth camp last year, and that wasn't for Eurovision either. That was just a songwriting camp for artists to come and have a space to write for their artist projects. And ironically, from that came a Eurosong song. So who knows? Who knows what the right thing to do? So
Views of the Valley, then, I'm presuming I believe it's coming back this year again for another few camps. So
yeah. So we've got the sixth camp coming up in the summer, and again, as with every camp, there's huge interest in it. I open an online form, and I've had maybe 60 applications or something like that already. We'll run it at the end of June. So it's incredibly difficult to choose, you know, with so few places there, how do you pick from so many people, especially when you've got so much talent that are interested. But it is a great insight into what, you know, all the talent that is out there, especially in Ireland, because sometimes it's easy to miss the talent, and like the level of talent in this country is incredible. Sometimes it's easy to not to see that, but it is there 100%. So I'm looking forward to it, and a whole bunch of songs, maybe a Euro song will come from it again, who knows. But
Fingers crossed. And for any songwriters out there who are listening who might not know, you know, the inner workings of a songwriting camp, can you kind of briefly explain what goes on during these camps?
Yeah, so it's a 5-day event. Typically, you arrive on the first day, a chance to just meet everyone there. Second day is the first songwriting day, so you're put into a group of three people. So that'll be a producer, a songwriter, and an artist. And you've just got a day between the hours of 9 and maybe 6 or 7 to write, record, produce your song, and then in the evening we listen to all of the songs, and that's pretty much it. Day two, we mix up the groups and repeat. Day three, mix up the groups, repeat, and the end result then are 15 songs, which it's up to the art, up to the participants what they want to do with the song. So I don't have any, you know, I don't own the songs or anything like that. I don't have any claim to the songs. I'm just there to facilitate the event. So
deadly, deadly. And for people who might want to get more information, where can they find it?
There's a website, viewsofthevalley.com, or Instagram, viewsofthevalley on Instagram. You'll see it there.
So. Amazing. So let's move on to the big question. How does an Irishman end up writing a song for the Croatian national final? How did that come about?
I'll try and give the shortest version possible of the story because it can get quite long. I went to a songwriting camp in Spain. I feel like most stories are starting with, I went to a songwriting camp these days. But I went to a song camp in Spain in 2023. And on the last day of the camp, I was put into a group with two friends of mine, Emma and Boss. And we actually decided that we were going to write a K-pop song. I don't know if people will be familiar with K-pop or the Asian market or anything like that, but we had kind of, we'd been working with a publisher. The camp was run by a publisher who had a lot of links to Asia. And in our heads, at least, it made sense on that day that we were going to write some K-pop. K-pop is, it can be, you know, the sections can change quite frequently. You know, there can be a lot of genres meshed into one type of song and this kind of thing. So that was kind of the influence there. We wrote the song, obviously with this kind of theme, dark fairy tale theme behind it, essentially a song about standing up for yourself, which is also sort of a thing that K-pop singers tend to sing about, wrapped up in this metaphorical poison cake theme, you know. And that was pretty much it. We left the song there for quite a while, actually. It was about a year later when I was on Instagram and I saw a video of Marco and thought he was amazing. And obviously it wasn't his typical style, but there was something there that I thought this could be a good match for the song, and sent it over to him. And he was like, okay, I like this, but I want to put my own kind of twist on this and make some changes. So he went away, he made some changes, and came back then. He was like, yeah, I want to submit this to Dora for Eurovision. So so it was amazing. He submitted it, and then the rest, pretty much, you know. So we got shortlisted, got through the semis, and it's all on YouTube. So yeah.
And as a Eurovision fan, when you hear Marcus say, I want to submit it for Dora to try and represent Croatia for Eurovision, are you kind of lighting up inside going, oh my God, yeah, wow, this is a huge moment?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And especially with somebody as talented as Marco, he's amazing. You kind of feel like this could be a real opportunity here. But then again, I have submitted to other countries before. Like, that was the third time I'd submitted a song to Croatia. I had submitted to Croatia the two previous years. 1 year was with Jana Smajo. I don't know if you know her.
She
been there previously. And last year then was with Ananda, who ultimately got shortlisted this year. So it was kind of a case of third time lucky with this one. So, so you never really know. You put it in, you think, well, hopefully, I think we could have a chance to be shortlisted. You don't really know until that list comes in, and then you're on it and you're like, oh my God, we got shortlisted. It's amazing. So yeah, it was so exciting. And then you get to the semi-finals, and then you're like, okay, hopefully we get through our semi into the Dora final. So even that, you're like, we think we have a chance to get through, but you don't really know until you actually get, you know, the names get called out and you're like, yes. So to win it then was just, yeah, unbelievable.
When you're sitting in that green room, when you hear that you've won, you know, your song that you co-written with, you know, two of your pals, as you said.
Yeah.
What are you feeling inside? Are you kind of like, is it a real moment that's happening, or is it kind of, wow,
yeah,
the start of a next journey? Like,
yeah, I think we were kind of emotional in a way, because each of us, myself and Boss, we'd kind of been working relentlessly to you know, achieve this goal. And we were just excited for Marco too, because he had come second a couple of years ago, and this was such a huge thing for him as well. So to see him have his moment too, It was kind of emotional. So, we're just excited. We're excited to be there. You know, whatever happens in Switzerland, you know, we're going to have a great week. And to have got this far is just amazing. So.
Amazing. And we hear so much about, you know, the teams, you know, in the build up to the song contest itself in May and the preparation between national final and the main show in May. What's it like from a songwriter's point of view? Do you have much of a say in the kind of the creative direction that the delegation might want to go in, or are you kind of just taking a step back and kind of enjoying the ride now?
Yeah, we kind of just wait in the wings. We don't really have a say on that, you know. Even for the national final, we didn't really, you know, we have a WhatsApp group and we're constantly in touch with Marco and his manager and so on. But in terms of that kind of thing, we don't have any say. You know, we didn't know anything really until we got to Croatia for the national final. And we've been given some insights into his Eurovision staging and that kind of thing, which is amazing. And I'm really excited for it. But in general, like, we wouldn't really give, we wouldn't have an input into that.
You said that you have an insight into what's coming up in May. I know you can't tell us exactly, but any teasers, are you excited? Do you think it's an improvement, or, you know, building on Dora?
Yeah, I mean, Marco will say himself, you know, when you get to the national final, you're constrained by budgets and so on. And that's okay for some songs where you can just stand there and have an LED screen behind you and so on. But for a song like Poison Cake, it needs a very visual performance. And he's totally aware of that. You know, we're all aware of that. So getting through the national final was the hurdle. Now that he's got to Eurovision, I think there's a lot more scope to be creative with the staging and really make it stand out on the night. And I think people will be surprised because, you know, unfortunately, and naturally, people will judge based on the national performance and so on, and the staging and so on, which was constrained by the budgets. But I think when the rehearsals start and people see how this is going to look on stage, and, you know, there's a lot of things to consider, the camera angles and so on, I think it will really, it will really step up as an underdog at that point. And I'm confident. I mean, he's an amazing performer, and you know, like I said, whatever happens, you know, we're going to have a great time anyway, and we're all so proud of Marco and delighted to be there. But I know he's going to give a great performance in a few weeks' time.
Absolutely, and I'm a big, you know, fan of this song, so I do be sticking up for it quite a lot.
I know. Yeah, it's like, it's a divisive song. And we knew this from the start. You know, we knew, you know, this is a song that will divide people. Some people absolutely love it and will get it, and some people won't. And that's okay. Like, you know, I'm okay with that. You know, I think probably of all of us on the songwriting team, I was kind of most in touch with Eurovision and the fact that people do voice their opinions, and they absolutely should do that, you know. And I kind of get some enjoyment from just seeing how divisive it is. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that's not the right way to look at it. But honestly, I think it makes it memorable. And whether, you know, whatever side people stand on, they're not going to forget it. And I think that's a really important thing.
And it's such a great achievement. And it's great to see an Irish songwriter, you know, be successful, because we see so many Swedes and so many, you know, other songwriters from different nationalities. So it's great to see a bit of Irish representation outside of Ireland for once. So it's great. So very proud of yourself, Ben.
Thanks very much. Yeah, thanks. Hopefully it won't be the last kind of, you know, roll of the dice and so on. And hopefully in the future, it will open up some opportunities to do more with, even with Ireland, hopefully. We'll see.
Love that. We'll leave it there. So, and if people want to get in touch with yourself, Ben, where can they find you?
Yeah, again, just on Instagram, Ben Pine Music, Pine with a Y. And you'll find me there. Give me a follow. And I'll be sharing all the Eurovision updates. I'll be out in Basel for a week. So you can follow along if you like.
Amazing. Ben, thank you so much for joining me and giving us your time. It's great to chat with you. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Connor.
All right, all right, all right. There we have it. Joshua Curran, Czech Irish songwriter for Armenia this year, and Ben Pine, Irish songwriter, part of the Croatian delegation this year. Such a fab listen, Alex. Hope you enjoyed it along with the listeners. We'll chat briefly about Josh. What a lovely, charming fella he is. I see a very bright future for him. He spoke with so much enthusiasm. I love that he said to myself and Connor, he's using Basel to network, that he can't wait to get there and just network the hell out of the place and get to know people. It's great that he's open to riding for Ireland and Czechia. So, you know, could be an exciting person to see on future shortlists. Also really interesting, he touched on how with the song for Armenia, he hasn't met the other songwriters. He hasn't even had much contact with them. So a lot of that song was pieced together remotely, which, I mean, look, it's 2025. So many things can be remote these days. Crazy. What do you make of that, Alex?
Yeah, that's absolutely mad, isn't it? I can't believe that they managed to do that. And again, a testament to their talent and ability as songwriters. Like, it must just be so in them, because I can't even, you know, I couldn't even do a colouring project. I don't know what I'm saying. I can't do most things online. So Jesus, that's pretty impressive. I also thought, yeah, it was very impressive that he already has networking on his mind. Like, one thing we definitely see, particularly in the Nordics, is that there is so much networking that does go on, and people tend to be, you know, in the same groups, and you might meet one person and then the next year you're songwriting with them. So I hope he has a fantastic time in Basel. I mean, what a fantastic opportunity for a young writer. Like, I'd say he's just over the moon and so excited to go. So yeah, really loved hearing from him.
And I know Josh is probably listening. He's been looking forward to the episode dropping. So Joshua, thanks so much for your time. We loved chatting to you. And yeah, I don't think this is the last we'll hear of this young, talented man on the Eurovision podcast. So best of luck with everything, Joshua, and hopefully chat to you soon. We did, of course, chat to Ben as well, Ben Pine, part of the Croatian songwriting team this year, and also, you know, founder of Views of the Valley, Irish Songwriting Camp, which has been up and coming, Alex. We had Rail to Song, co-written by Keena Donoghue and Ryan O'Shaughnessy. This year, that was our first big success from that camp. What do you think about this rollout of an Irish songwriting camp and the potential for there to be more?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. Like, a lot of the songs obviously that come out of songwriting camps all over Europe and all over the world seem to be doing very well, and like, it can lead to some really good songs. Like, I love Norway's entry this year. You could say, I'm sure some people will say, look, it's nearly paint by numbers pop, but sometimes, like, I'd say it's just great for creatives to be forced together and like just come up with a song. I think sometimes that's the best way to be creative, right? Is like be under a time pressure to meet new people, different minds from across the world. So like, I'm so open to them. I know that Michael Keeley on previous episodes has talked about kind of coming around to them and now finally like realizing their potential and, you know, seeing something in them. So I'd love to see in Eurosong maybe more nurturing of that. I don't think it needs to be like, you know, one spot open only for those kinds of songs, or the way that they do it maybe in Norway maybe would lead to more inauthentic entries if it was the only ones being submitted, or if there was priority given. I think a good song is a good song, but I'd love to see more investment in them, more nurturing. I'd love to see RTÉ get involved in some way. It's obviously a great way for them all to meet, and I suppose we have noticed ourselves even in the Irish bubble of songwriters, like from when Like a Party won, after we saw a lot of them meeting up after and going out for dinner, a lot of the people who had been to Views of the Valley, and that was really nice to see. And you'd hope that they continue to collaborate into the future. I don't think I have anything against it, but I don't think I'd like it to be prioritized if the songs aren't, you know, up to scratch. What do you think, Lou?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Alex. I mean, like, the more options the better, right? But it doesn't need to be the sole thing. I mean, I think the likes of Austria and Switzerland have seen it working for them by relying on them heavily. But I think for, you know, a country like ours still kind of finding our way a little bit in the contest and finding our voice, it's good to just have options, you know. Like, personally, you could have 10 like okay songs from a songwriting camp and that's great, but if somebody on their own has submitted an amazing song, I would rather that progress, you know. So it just depends, doesn't it? It depends on the song. He also, Ben, kind of, he gave me a bit of a laugh listening back to this, because he kind of called out Michael Keeley, you know, saying he was unhappy with some of his choices, given like, you know, Michael has been very good for giving time to come into the camp and listening to what they've come up with. And Ben felt, you know, he hadn't made some of the right decisions with songs he'd selected and not selected, more so. So that's kind of an interesting one, because we know we're getting more and more transparency as years go on from RTE with how the songs are selected. But ultimately, there is still kind of this background that we're getting to know of how songs make it in and such. So again, Ben is somebody I think we haven't heard the last of, Alex. I think Ben Pine is going to be on our radars again probably very soon. It could very well be next year in next year's Eurosong.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'd love to see them come back. We always say about artists, you know, we want Niall to come back, we want Connolly to come back and so on. That you'd love to see the writers come back as well. Like, we're rooting for them. We're rooting for whether they get a song to Eurovision or to Eurosong or they don't. Like, as long as they're, you know, doing a good job and collaborating well with people like Yoni, I'd love to see them come back. And particularly, yeah, a lot of the writers that were on Eurosong. And I'm glad that in this episode and others as well, that we're putting a bit more of a focus on them, because they are such a big part of the competition that probably don't get enough recognition because, you know, the people who are on stage are so front and center, but really they are the lifeblood of the competition as well. So yeah, it was really, really good episode and really enjoyed listening to them. I don't think songwriting's for me yet, but I did learn a few tips and tricks, so maybe, you know, catch
this
year's
Views of the Rapped. Valley.
Yeah, that's my Views of the Valley. Eurovision of the Valley. It's just me.
Guys, stay tuned. What genre? I'm thinking rap, maybe, or R&B.
I think that's the natural step. You know, last was kind of a dancey dubstep. You know, maybe I go into country in 2026. You know, I'm going to keep you all guessing. Let's see.
We can't wait. So from Alex's songwriting to Josh's to Ben's and to Larissa's, we hope you all enjoyed this episode. As we mentioned earlier in the episode, don't forget Larissa has an event taking place in Mullingar in County Westmeath next Friday, the 25th of April at 8 p.m. You can find all of the details on Larissa's socials and that of Belvedere House and Gardens, also on Instagram. Don't forget, on the day of release, the Dublin OJE preview party is taking place in the Workman's Club, where it begins at 7 p.m. and all of this year's Eurovision songs will be played, voted on, and then at 9 p.m. we will have amazing performances from Aiko from Czechia and Niall from Eurosong, previously mentioned in the episode. Alex, Connor and I are honoured to be hosting part of the night, so hopefully see lots of you there. Hopefully it's not too late to get tickets at this time of listening, at this time of recording, and the OJE tickets do fly out, so make sure you grab one for tonight if you haven't already. And make sure you're following us, guys, on everything if you don't already. Eurovision Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, our most active places, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, so on. Give us a review if you like what we do. Send us a message, send us an email, eurovisionpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, there's lots to come. Quick fires next week, and we're looking forward to getting stuck into those. But for now, all we have to say is slán.